hope you've all had a good day today.
Jeg håber, I alle har haft en god dag i dag.
Nice to see some new people here as well.
Det er godt at se nogle nye mennesker her.
When you were at school, what subject did you find was the most difficult?
Da I var i skole, hvilket fag var det, I synes var det sværeste?
Whenever I ask that question, people come up with all kinds of answers.
Hver gang jeg stiller det spørgsmål, så er det, at folk kommer med alle mulige forskellige svar.
There were those who didn't like mathematics.
Der var dem, der ikke kunne lide matematik.
Could never put the numbers together.
De kunne aldrig sådan lægge numrene sammen.
For others, it was science and those kinds of things.
For andre så var det sådan noget som fysik og kemi.
For me, it was geography.
For mig så var det geografi.
The exam I got the lowest grade ever in was geography.
Den eksamen, hvor jeg fik den laveste karakter nogensinde, det var i geografi.
Actually, it's the letter U, which means it's so bad it's unclassified.
Det er faktisk bogstavet U, og det betyder, at det er så dårligt, at man ikke kan klassificere det.
We all have different subjects that we find very difficult to learn.
Vi har alle forskellige fag, hvor vi har meget svært ved at lære.
But in the school of life, I think maybe the lesson that's hardest for us to learn is that of humility.
Men i livet så er det, at det fag, som vi har sværest ved at lære, det er lektion om ydmyghed.
And Nebuchadnezzar, I think, is the biblical character that shows us just how hard it was for someone to learn the lesson of humility.
Og jeg synes, at den bibelske person, der viser os virkelig, hvor svært det var at lære ydmyghed, det var Nebuchadnezzar.
And so if you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to Daniel chapter 4?
Så hvis I har jeres bibler med, hvis I så vil slå til Daniels bog, kapitel 4.
We've had read for us the fact that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream.
Vi har fået læst, at Nebuchadnezzar han havde en drøm.
Now, Nebuchadnezzar has a very interesting journey in the whole book of Daniel.
Nu er det, at Nebuchadnezzar han har en meget interessant rejse i bogen Daniel.
In chapter 2, he hears about God.
I kapitel 2, så er det, at han hører om Gud.
Because he has this vision of this huge statue, and Daniel interprets the vision, and he hears about God for the first time.
Fordi han har den her drøm om den her kæmpe statue, og så er det, at Daniel han fortæller ham betydningen, og Nebuchadnezzar hører om Gud.
In chapter 3, he not only hears about God, he actually sees God.
I kapitel 3, så er det, at han ikke kun hører om Gud, men han ser faktisk Gud.
He sets up this huge image, and you know the story of the three Hebrew boys that didn't bow down to the image.
Kender historien, han rejste statuen, og der var de her tre hebræiske drenge, som ikke ville bøje sig.
And this time he actually sees God in the fiery furnace.
Og den her gang, så ser han Gud inde i brændeovnen.
But still, God is just the God of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego.
Men stadigvæk så er Gud kun Shadrach, Meshach og Abednegos Gud.
But here in chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar actually encounters God for himself.
Men i kapitel 4 så er det, at Nebuchadnezzar rent faktisk møder Gud selv.
And the way in which he encounters God is actually through being humbled.
Og den måde han møder Gud på, det er rent faktisk ved, at han ydmyger sig selv.
And perhaps that is the key for how we are to meet God as well, by being humble.
Og måske er det nøglen til, hvordan vi skal møde Gud. Vi skal være ydmyge.
But as we look at this vision that Nebuchadnezzar had.
Men hvis vi kigger på det her drømmesyn, som Nebuchadnezzar han havde.
One of the things that strikes me as I read about Nebuchadnezzar was he was always having dreams about big things.
Så en af de ting, der slår mig, det er, at Nebuchadnezzar han drømmer altid om store ting.
Did you notice that? He has a vision of this huge image.
Har lagt mærke til det? Han havde den her drøm om det her kæmpe store statue.
He has a vision of a tree, and it's not just any ordinary tree, it's a huge tree, it reaches to the whole of the earth.
Han har et syn om et træ, og det er ikke hvilket som helst træ, det er sådan et kæmpe træ, som rækker til verdens ende.
And I think the reason for this was to show Nebuchadnezzar's wide influence.
Jeg tror, grunden til det, det er, at man kan se den store indflydelse, Nebuchadnezzar han
havde. It was to show how powerful he was.
For at vise, hvor magtfuld han var.
But I think it was also to mirror how big his ego was.
Men jeg tror også, det var for at afspejle, hvor stort hans ego var.
If God was to give you a vision that was to show how big your ego was. What kind of size things would you be dreaming about, do you think?
Hvis Gud han ville give jer et syn om hvor stort jeres ego var, hvor stort tror I så tingene I den drøm ville være?
Well, anyway, here in chapter 4 we are told the reason why Nebuchadnezzar had this dream.
Men her I kapitel 4 der får vi at vide hvorfor Nebuchadnezzar han fik den her drøm.
Now, we've been comparing our Bibles here, and my verses, the numbers I have, are not the same as in your Bible. But anyway, we'll see if we can figure it out here.
Vi har kigget lidt på versene, og I min Bibel det ikke helt det samme som I jeres Bibel.
But what is repeated time and time again is so that he will know that the Most High is sovereign. That says in verse 17 in mine.
Men det, der står her, er, at det bliver gentaget igen og igen, at for at de levende skal forstå, at den højeste hersker. Og i den her det vers 14.
And that is repeated about 4 times, so that Nebuchadnezzar will learn that heaven rules.
Og det bliver gentaget 4 gange, så at Nebuchadnezzar han skal vide, at det himlen, der styrer.
You know, when I was a young man, we used to see a lot of graffiti around.
Da jeg var ung, så var der meget graffiti over det hele.
And one of the things that was often written on walls.
Og en af de ting, der mange gange blev skrevet på væggene,
was to do with football teams.
Det havde noget at gøre med fodboldhold.
And you might see something like Man United rules.
Og det kan godt være, at I så noget som Manchester United styrer.
Now, I grew up in Birmingham.
Jeg voksede op I Birmingham.
So I'm a Villa fan.
You're what?
Oh, sorry. Aston Villa fans. Just shows how well they're known, right? They're only like 50 in the tech. Never mind. Sorry. Aston Villa fan.
Yeah. Og fodboldklubben hedder Aston Villa fan.
Yes, yes. Yeah, okay. So you'd see kind of like Villa rules.
Så vi ser sådan et Villa styre.
Basically what you're saying is, you know, this football team is the best football team, so don't think about any other ones.
Det man egentlig siger, det at det her fodboldhold det bedste, så vi skal ikke tænke på nogen andre.
And really the lesson of this vision for Nebuchadnezzar is, listen, heaven rules.
Og i virkeligheden så lektion med den her drøm, det at det himlen, der styrer.
And in this time, the Hebrew words that are used about heaven ruling and making us humble, this is what's used time and again in this chapter.
Og den her gang så de hebræiske ord, der blev brugt om, at himlen styrer i det her kapitel.
And so what God is trying to say is, listen, you've got to learn the lesson that I'm in charge. Heaven rules, not you.
Så det at Gud han prøver på at sige at hør efter, det mig der styrer, himlen styrer, ikke jer.
And so when you read this story and we go to verse 28 in my Bible, it's verse 29. It says after he'd had this 12 months later, he's walking around in his palace.
Så det at i den her bibel det så vers 29, right, 29?
29 in mine.
On yours.
12 months later. Can you find that? Let's see. 25?
Ja. Ja, 26. 12 måneder senere, da kongen vandrede rundt på taget af kongepaladset i Babylon,
and then read the next verse as well.
Sagde han, dette det store Babylon, som jeg med magt og styrke har bygget som kongelig residens for at kaste glans over min herlighed. Næppe var ordene udgået af kongens mund, før der lød en røst fra himlen.
Okay, leave it right there. 12 months after he'd had the vision and had it interpreted for him.
12 måneder efter at han havde haft det her syn og han havde fået betydningen.
And he's walking around and he's looking at the beauty of Babylon.
Og han går rundt og han ser hvor smuk Babylon
He just says, isn't this the great Babylon that I've built?
Så siger han, at det her ikke det pragtfulde Babylon som jeg har bygget.
Because it is the toughest lesson we learn.
Fordi det den sværeste lektion vi skal lære.
We often think, isn't this the thing that I have done?
Vi tænker mange gange, at det her ikke det jeg har gjort.
Isn't it I that rule?
Det ikke mig der styrer?
Whereas heaven is trying to teach us, no, it's heaven that rules.
Hvor at himlen prøver på at lære os, nej, det himlen der styrer.
You see, that's what sin is all about.
Så det det synd det handler om.
It's all about I rule.
Det handler om det mig der styrer.
Because that's what Satan said to Eve, wasn't it?
Fordi var det ikke det Satan sagde til Eva?
If you eat from this, then you will rule. You will know. You will be like God.
Hvis du spiser fra det, så vil du styre. Du vil vide det. Du vil være ligesom Gud.
And it is great. It is perhaps the greatest temptation that we have today in thinking I rule.
Og det er måske den største fristelse vi har i dag ved at vi tænker at jeg styrer.
Have you ever seen top musicians or top sportsmen or sportswomen?
Har du nogensinde set sådan nogle top musikere eller sportsmænd, sportskvinder?
Actors or politicians?
Skuespillere eller politikere?
Pilots or models?
Piloter eller modeller?
You ever seen any of them be interviewed?
Har du nogensinde set dem blive interviewet?
They're all saying, "Yeah, look how good I am at what I do."
De siger alle sammen, "Se hvor god jeg er ved det til det jeg gør."
We've got this program in England called The Apprentice.
Vi har det her program i England, der hedder The Apprentice, lærlingen.
Do you have that here?
Har I det her?
You don't have that. There's this man in England whose name is Sir Alan Sugar, and he's trying to interview some people who want to work for him. He's very rich.
Der er den her mand i England, som er meget rig, Sir Alan Sugar.
Sugar, yeah.
Og han interviewer nogle mennesker.
And they have to do different kinds of jobs to see who will end up as the person working for him.
Og han vil gerne ansætte dem, og de skal alle sammen lave nogle forskellige opgaver for at se hvem der ender med at arbejde for ham.
And each week he says you're fired. He fires different people.
Og hver eneste uge så siger han du er fyret. Han fyrer forskellige mennesker.
And they're trying to show that they are the best for the job.
Og de prøver på at vise at de er den bedste til opgaven.
And I remember one of these guys was on the program and he was saying, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I can taste success on my spit.
Jeg kan huske, at der var en af de her fyre på programmet, der sagde, at hver morgen, når jeg vågner, så kan jeg smage succesen i mit spyt.
I am so good.
Jeg er så god.
And we hear it all the time. Is not this the fastest body in the world that I have built with my own strength?
Og vi hører det hele tiden, at det her ikke den hurtigste krop i verden, som jeg har opbygget med min egen kraft.
Isn't this the great musical ability that I have created by my own cleverness?
Er det her ikke den store musikalske egenskab, som jeg selv har udviklet, fordi jeg er så klog?
I read one time that the famous orchestra conductor Leonard Bernstein.
Jeg læste engang, at den berømte orkesterdirigent
Leonard Bernstein. He was asked, "What is the most difficult instrument to play in an orchestra?"
Han blev spurgt, hvilket instrument er det sværeste at spille i et orkester?
And he said, "The most difficult instrument to play in an orchestra."
Og han sagde, det sværeste instrument man skal spille i et orkester.
Is second violin.
Det er den anden violin.
Or second flute.
Eller den anden fløjte.
Or second anything.
Eller den anden er noget som helst.
Because I can get lots of first violinists.
Fordi jeg kan få en masse der spiller på violin som er den første.
But nobody wants to be second.
Men der er ikke nogen der vil være nummer to.
And without seconds there is no harmony.
Og uden nummer to så er der ingen harmoni.
You see, it's this thing that keeps hitting us all the time. Nobody wants to be less or the humble one.
Så det er det, der rammer os hele tiden. Der er ikke nogen, der vil være mindre eller den ydmyge.
We all fall into this trap of thinking, I rule.
Vi falder alle sammen i den her fælde ved at tænke, at jeg styrer.
About boasting about how good we are at what we do.
Vi blærer os med, hvor gode vi er til det, vi gør.
And you know, I think it happens to us pastors too.
Jeg tror også, det sker til os præster.
We get together and we start saying, is not this the great church that I have built?
Vi samles og vi begynder at sige, er det her ikke den pragtfulde kirke, som jeg har bygget?
Aren't these all the baptismal candidates that I have done by my great hand?
Er det her ikke alle dåbskandidaterne, som jeg har skaffet?
Or don't even church members do the same thing?
Eller er det ikke også at kirkemedlemmer, de gør det samme?
Is not this the great youth group that I have developed by my own goodness?
Er det her ikke den fantastiske ungdomsgruppe, som jeg har udviklet selv?
Isn't this the great music band that I have developed through my own cleverness?
Er det her ikke den store musikgruppe, som jeg har udviklet, fordi jeg er så klog?
Isn't this the great Sabbath school department that I have developed because I'm so good?
Er det her ikke den store sabbatskoleafdeling, som jeg har udviklet, fordi jeg er så god?
You see, the trap of thinking I rule is never far away from any of us.
se fælden ved at tænke, at jeg styrer, er aldrig langt fra nogen af os.
And it was used to tempt Jesus in the wilderness.
Og den blev brugt til at friste Jesus i ødemarken.
Remember when Satan comes to him and says, "Turn this stone into bread."
Kan I huske, når Satan han kom til ham og sagde, "Forvandl den her sten til brød."
Show that you rule.
Vis at det er dig der styrer.
But Jesus says, "No, heaven rules."
Men Jesus han siger nej, det er himlen der styrer.
And so here is Nebuchadnezzar saying, "Isn't this the great Babylon that I have built?"
Og her så er det, at Nebuchadnezzar han siger, at det her ikke det pragtfulde Babylon, som jeg har bygget.
And it says that as the words were still on his mouth, there came a voice from heaven saying, "That's it. Now you are going to be driven away from human beings."
Og der står, at næppe var ordene udgået af kongens mund, før der lød en røst fra himlen. Det forkyndes der af kong Nebuchadnezzar, at dit kongerige skal tages fra dig.
And he turned into some kind of animal.
Og han blev forvandlet til et slags dyr.
Seems like he turned into some kind of a cow.
Det ligner lidt, at han blev forvandlet til en ko.
Mad cow disease is nothing new.
Kogalskab er ikke noget nyt.
It started right here with Nebuchadnezzar.
Det startede lige her med Nebuchadnezzar.
God put him in his place.
Gud han satte ham på plads.
He humbled him seriously.
Han ydmygede ham virkelig.
Have you ever been humbled and put in your place?
Er I nogensinde blevet ydmyget og blevet sat på plads?
Remember when I was still a student at Newbold?
Jeg kan huske, at jeg stadig var elev på Newbold.
And one year the choir was going to be going up to Manchester, which is in the north of England, to do a tour.
Og der var et år, hvor et kor skulle på turné, og de tog op til nordlig del af England til Manchester.
I think it was in my second year at Newbold.
Jeg tror, det var mit andet år på Newbold.
And I was asked with, I think it was 5 other guys, to be preachers at different churches.
Og jeg blev bedt om sammen med 5 andre om at prædike i forskellige kirker.
And I thought that I was, you know, all that when it came to preaching.
Og jeg tænkte, at jeg var da den rigtig god, når det kom til at prædike.
So I didn't really prepare very much.
Så jeg forberedte mig ikke rigtig.
Took a few quotes from a book.
Jeg tog et par citater fra en bog.
And went up there to preach.
Og jeg tog det op for at prædike.
When I got there, I remember the people saying, "The preacher normally does a children's story. Do you have a children's story?"
Og jeg kan huske, da jeg kom derop, at så sagde folk, at prædikeren plejer at have en børnehistorie. Har du en?
I hadn't prepared one, but I thought, "Oh, I'm sure I can do something."
Altså, jeg tænkte, jeg har ikke forberedt en, men jeg sagde, jo, jeg kan godt gøre et eller andet.
I went up there and I did this something or other for a children's story.
Jeg tog det op, og så gjorde jeg det her et eller andet til en børnehistorie.
Afterwards, there was somebody that said to me, "You know, next time when you want to do a children's story."
Og bagefter så var der nogen, der sagde til mig, "Vil du være næste gang, du gerne vil have en børnehistorie?"
Ask me and I'll do it for you.
Så spørg mig, og så skal jeg nok gøre det for dig.
And I tell you, the sermon wasn't much better.
Og prædiken var ikke særlig meget bedre.
One of the worst things I've ever done in my life, I think.
Jeg tror, det er en af de værste ting, jeg har gjort i mit liv.
And getting that kind of feedback kind of let me realize, you know, Patrick, you're not really that good after all, are you?
Og når jeg får sådan noget at vide bagefter, så er det, jeg tænker, Patrick, jeg er ikke rigtig så god, vel?
But it's taken me quite a while, and I'm still learning this thing about humility.
Men det har taget mig lang tid, og jeg lærer stadigvæk det her om ydmyghed.
While I was at Newbold, I used to play a lot of badminton.
Da jeg var på Newbold, så spillede jeg meget badminton.
And got quite good. Actually, I won the trophy several years as being the best badminton player at Newbold.
Og jeg blev ret god. Jeg vandt faktisk pokalen for at være den bedste badmintonspiller på Newbold et par år.
When you get that kind of thing, you start thinking, you know, I must be pretty good.
Og når man får sådan noget, så begynder man at tænke, jeg må være meget god.
And then when we moved from Newbold, we went up to Tromsø in the north of Norway.
Og da vi flyttede fra Newbold, så tog vi op til Tromsø.
Tromsø. And so I thought, I joined the local badminton club.
Så jeg meldte mig ind i den lokale badmintonklub.
And came there the first day, and we're going to be playing with a couple of young teenage boys.
Og jeg kom der den første dag, og de satte mig til at spille med sådan nogle unge teenage-drenge.
And I thought, oh my goodness, what's this? You know, but okay, I'll play with them anyway.
Og jeg tænkte bare, okay, jeg skal nok spille med dem alligevel.
Playing singles.
De spillede sådan single.
And I tell you, they killed me.
Og jeg siger, de dræbte mig virkelig.
I think they were just gracious to me and gave me 1 point.
Jeg tror, at de var gode mod mig og gav mig 1 point.
Humbled me seriously.
De ydmygede mig virkelig.
And I never went back again.
Og jeg tog aldrig tilbage.
Being put in your place by the Most High. You know what it's like to be humbled?
At blive sat på plads af den allerhøjeste. Ved I, hvordan det er at blive ydmyget?
Last year, I like to watch the Olympics. Any of you like to watch Olympics?
Jeg kan godt lide at se Olympiaden, og der er andre, der godt kan.
Do you remember that there were certain Jamaicans that were the fastest people in the world?
Sidste år kan jeg huske, at der var visse fra Jamaica, der var de hurtigste i verden.
And you know, I just couldn't resist the temptation when I was preaching one evening.
Og jeg kunne bare ikke modstå fristelsen, da jeg prædikede en aften.
We have a new bold. We have once a month we have something called More Clothed Nights.
På Newbold, så en gang om måneden, så har vi noget, der hedder More Clothed Nights.
It's a kind of outreach type praise evening.
Det er sådan, at man rækker ud, og man priser sådan for aften.
So we get quite a few non-Christians coming to it.
Så vi får en del ikke-kristne til at komme til det.
I have the privilege of speaking and give a very basic kind of gospel type presentation.
Jeg har det privilegium at tale med sådan meget gospel-agtig.
And this particular evening, you know, Usain Bolt, he's like the fastest man in the world, Jamaican guy.
Og den her aften så var det at Bolt, en fra Jamaica, var meget hurtig.
He's kind of done this kind of pose and made it familiar those who may know it.
Han gør det der.
The fastest woman in the world was also a Jamaican.
Den hurtigste kvinde i verden var også fra Jamaica.
So I couldn't help but, you know, rub it in a little bit, you know, I'm being a Jamaican, I had to tell people the best people in the world are the Jamaicans.
Så jeg kunne ikke gøre for at gnide lidt salt i såret ved at sige, at de bedste mennesker, de er fra Jamaica.
The next day was a sports day for the area.
Næste dag var en sportsdag for det område.
You know, I think God has an incredible sense of humor.
Og jeg tror, at Gud, han har en rigtig god humor.
Because they had this one race, which was the pastors and elders race.
Fordi de havde det her ene løb, der var præsterne og de ældre.
100 meters.
100 meter.
And so being the area coordinator, I had to be there, you know, I couldn't not be there.
Og siden jeg var koordinatoren for området, så blev jeg nødt til at være der.
So I'm lined up at the start of this 100 meters with other pastors and elders.
Så jeg står ved startlinjen sammen med de andre præster og de ældre.
And elders can be quite young these days.
Og ældre folk kan faktisk godt være meget unge de her dage.
Anyway, we're there at the start line, and I'm looking at the opposition and thinking, well, okay, I should be able to manage some place in the middle here.
Og vi er ved startlinjen, og jeg kigger på modstanderne, og jeg tænker, jo, jeg burde da kunne placere mig et sted i midten.
About 15 of us lined up there.
Der var cirka 15 af os der.
And the whistle blew.
Og så lød fløjten.
And we all started running. I ran as hard as I could.
Og vi begyndte alle at løbe, og jeg løb så meget jeg kunne.
Oh, really, really hard.
Det var virkelig hårdt.
And I came in.
Og jeg kom ind.
About 3 seconds after everybody else was finished.
Cirka 3 sekunder efter alle andre var færdige.
And I thought, yeah, okay. God's trying to teach me to be humble.
Og jeg tænkte, ja, Gud han prøver på at lære mig at være ydmyg.
How long would it take for God to teach you to be humble?
Hvor lang tid ville det tage for Gud at lære dig at være ydmyg?
It says here that it took Nebuchadnezzar 7 years.
Der står i Bibelen, at det tog Nebuchadnezzar 7 år.
No, we're told also that Moses was in the desert for 40 years.
Vi får også at vide, at Moses var i ørkenen i 40 år.
Maybe that's what it took him before God could use him.
Måske var det så lang tid det tog for ham, før Gud kunne bruge ham.
How long would it take you and me before we'd learn the lesson?
Hvor lang tid ville det tage dig og mig, før vi lærer den lektion?
The lesson that heaven rules, not me.
Den lektion, at himlen styrer og ikke mig.
But you know, I like the way this story ends.
Men jeg kan godt lide den måde, historien slutter på.
Because in verse 36 in mine.
Fordi vers 36, hvor 33. I samme øjeblik fik jeg min forstand igen, og al min herlighed og pragt vendte tilbage og kastede glans over mit kongedømme. Mine ministre og stormænd søgte mig igen. Jeg blev genindsat i mit kongedømme, og jeg fik endnu større magt.
Notice what it says. In mine it says, he had even more power than he had before.
Mærk til, at i min så står der, at han fik endnu mere magt, end han havde før.
You see, God doesn't humble us because he wants to just be horrible to us.
Se, Gud, han vil ikke ydmyge os, bare fordi han vil være ond ved os.
He doesn't just want to see us groveling in the ground.
Han vil ikke bare se os kravle i støvet.
Remember what we read yesterday from the book of James?
Ved ikke, om I kan huske, hvad vi læste i går fra Jakob.
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up.
Ydmyg dig selv for Herren, og han vil løfte dig op.
Notice when God lifted Nebuchadnezzar up, he lifted him up higher than it was before.
Læg mærke til, at da Gud løftede Nebuchadnezzar op, så løftede han ham højere op, end han var før.
And that's what God wants to do for us.
Og det er det Gud han vil gøre for os.
Who knows where God wants to lift you up?
Hvem ved hvor Gud han vil løfte dig op?
But it seems as if he seems to lift us up higher than we could ever imagine that we could be lifted.
Men det virker som om at han kan løfte os endnu højere op end vi nogensinde kan forestille os.
And so Nebuchadnezzar has his conclusion in the last verse.
Så Nebuchadnezzar han får sin konklusion i det sidste vers. Jeg Nebuchadnezzar lovsynger ophøjer og ærer nu himlens konge. Alle hans handlinger er rigtige og hans veje er retfærdige. Den der vandrer i hovmod kan han ydmyge.
I think God humbles us because he wants to actually draw us close to him.
Jeg tror at Gud ydmyger os fordi at han vil drage os tæt til ham.
We experience God more than any place else through humility.
Vi oplever Gud mere end noget andet sted igennem ydmyghed.
Micah chapter 6 verse 8.
Mika kapitel 6 vers 8.
In my Bible it says, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you?
Der står at menneske, du har fået at vide, hvad der er godt, hvad Herren kræver af dig.
Now there are three things that God wants from you.
Nu er der tre ting som Gud han vil have fra jer.
You might think, you know, there's a whole heap of things I need to remember when it comes to Christianity. Three things, that's all God wants from us.
Det kan godt være du tænker at der er en hel masse du skal huske når det handler om kristendom.
The first one is to act justly.
Men egentlig så vil Gud kræver kun tre ting af jer. Og den første det er at du skal handle retfærdigt.
To live a right type of life. To live a kind of right life.
Ja, I skal leve et rigtigt liv.
The second thing he asks us to do is to love mercy.
Og det næste han beder os om, det er at vi skal vise trofast kærlighed.
In our relationships with one another, if we just remember just to be a little bit merciful the way God is to us, I think so many problems could be solved.
I vores forhold med hinanden, hvis vi bare husker at elske hinanden med på en barmhjertig måde, så ville det være meget bedre.
And then the third thing he asks us.
Og så er det den tredje ting han beder os om.
Is to walk humbly with your God.
Det er at vandre ydmygt med din Gud.
Now you can think of that in two ways.
Du kan tænke om det på to måder.
You can think I have to walk humbly before God because he's so big and I'm so little.
Du kan tænke at jeg skal gå ydmygt med Gud, fordi at han er så stor og jeg er så lille.
Or you can think that I walk in the same humble way that God walks.
Eller du kan tænke at jeg går på den samme ydmyge måde som Gud gør.
In other words, it's teaching us to walk with God, you have to walk humbly because God is humble.
Med andre ord, så lærer det os, at du skal gå ydmygt med Gud, fordi at Gud han går ydmygt.
And maybe that's something we don't often think about God.
Og måske er det noget, som vi ikke tænker særlig tit om Gud.
We think of God as being all-powerful.
Vi tænker på, at Gud, at han er magtfuld.
That he has all wisdom.
At han har al viden.
That he can do anything he likes.
Han kan gøre lige, hvad han vil.
But maybe we need to remember that God is a humble God.
Men måske skal vi huske på at Gud er en ydmyg Gud.
And if we want to walk with him and experience him, then we need to walk humbly as he walks.
Og hvis vi vil gå med ham og opleve ham, så skal vi gå ydmygt, ligesom han gør.
Maybe that's the reason why some of our prayers aren't answered the way we would like.
Måske er det grunden til, at nogle af vores bønner ikke bliver svaret på den måde, som vi vil have det.
Because we want him to show his power and do something special.
Fordi vi vil have, at han skal vise sin kraft og gøre noget specielt.
And maybe God's saying, you know what? I'm not going to do it in that big, showy kind of way.
Og måske så siger Gud, ved du hvad, jeg har ikke tænkt mig at gøre det på den der store måde, som du vil have.
My way is the humble, quiet way.
Min måde at gøre det på er den stille og ydmyge måde.
And so I think maybe our response to this story with Nebuchadnezzar.
Så jeg tror måske, at vores svar på historien med Nebuchadnezzar
is to pray, God, show me how I can walk humbly with you each day.
Det er måske at bede om, at Gud vis mig, hvordan jeg kan gå ydmygt med dig hver dag.
Perhaps it's one of the most dangerous prayers we could ever pray. God, humble me so I can encounter you.
Måske er det en af de farligste bønner, vi kan bede. Gud, ydmyg mig, så jeg kan gå med dig.
But I think it's one of the most important prayers you'll ever pray in your life.
Men jeg tror, at det er en af de vigtigste bønner, du nogensinde vil bede i dit liv.
Because when we humble ourselves and walk with God,
fordi når vi ydmyger os selv og går med Gud,
who knows where he will lift us up to?
Hvem ved, hvor han vil løfte os?
Amen.
Amen.